listening to the Essential Install podcast series. My name is David Kitchener, and I'm the Managing Director of All Things Media Limited, the company that brings you Essential Install magazine and the EI Live exhibition, amongst other projects. Speaking of which, as we record this podcast on the 4th of March, I've had my exhibition hat on lately. And only this week it's been announced that Integrated Systems Europe, ISE of course, is going ahead as planned in June, which is quite amazing really, as it seems to be just on the cusp of the world opening up once again. It will be interesting to see how this pans out. I would add that our exhibition, EI Live, takes place on the 29th and the 30th of September this year, and given Boris's roadmap and the COVID vaccine rollout, we're very confident that the show will be opening its doors to the AV and home automation industry in late September. During this podcast series, we are talking to industry people from industry associations, custom install companies, and even the odd distributor or two thrown in for good measure. So, let's concentrate on this podcast, which is entitled The Future of Signal Distribution. I'm joined today by Kevin Cray, the Technical Product Development Director, and Daniel Branton, the Key Account and Partner Training Manager at CYP Europe. Welcome, Kevin. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, David. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Yeah, good afternoon. Pleasure to be here with you.
I see you go in for quite long titles at CYP, gentlemen. Are your business cards bigger than everybody else's?
Pretty much. Bit of a competition, isn't it, Kev, for you and I? But
we
focus on the products and the customers first, business cards later.
Yeah, we seem to have a bit of a competition to see who has the longest title. I was winning, and then Dan seemed to extend his beyond mine, just to win, I think, really.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And of course, as usual, I'm joined by our illustrious editor of Essential Install magazine, Daniel Sate. Welcome, Dan.
Hi there, good to be back again. Looking forward to this one. It's going to be interesting, I think.
Okay, to the subject of this podcast. Now, as I understand it, the future of AV distribution is all about three things: bandwidth, bandwidth, and bandwidth. With the evolution of video signal quality, it requires huge amounts of bandwidth to display at their native quality. Kevin, to kick us off on this subject, can you set the scene for us, please?
Yeah, sure, David. Thanks. Yeah. I think that the best way to understand it is just to have a look at common sources that we're all used to using and the sort of bandwidth that they use themselves, and then what technologies are actually able to deliver those in that native format you spoke about earlier. Common sources. So we've got, you know, a SkyQ source that can do, you know, your 4K 50 hertz 420, and it can do the 10-bit. So this goes over 11 gigabits a second. So it's quite a lot of bandwidth. And then for your more commercial applications, perhaps you've got digital signage, where a lot of digital signage boxes are understandably now trying to run at the highest possible timing for 4K video. So they're running 4K 50 or 60 hertz, 444, so, you know, full color, 8-bit. And now that's almost nearly 18 gigabits per second. And then you've got media players, whether that's some kind of Apple TV or other media player box or some kind of dedicated film streaming devices. These tend to run at 4K 24 hertz a second, because that's how the movie industry tend to film things. But they also tend to run HDR up to 12-bit. So even these at their lower refresh rate can end up being well in excess of 13 gigabits per second. And then we've got our games consoles, forgetting about the new ones perhaps, but even the 2019 series of game consoles like the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One and things like this, these tend to run at 4K 60 hertz 420. Again, they can add HDR for better image quality. So all those are, all, again, over 13 gigabits per second. Now, to push these high bandwidth signals down various pipelines of systems requires a lot of native ability. And what you are trying to do here is to make them native. So for example, to try and push them down a 1 gigabit AV over IP system, you're gonna have to do some heavy compression or some serious encoding. And to pretend that this isn't affecting picture quality is not really true. I mean, what's important with these type of systems that you do have to compress or encode is not whether they're affecting picture quality, because they are. It's whether that picture quality is actually acceptable for your customer. And that's, of course, the key thing. Alternatively, you can use systems that have a much bigger pipe. They have a much more bandwidth available. So there's a system called SDVOE, Software Defined Video over Ethernet. Oh, I managed to remember what it was called. I'm really pleased. when you have them so many, you've got to often forget them. So this has got a 10 gig pipe. So there's a lot more bandwidth available there to throw these sources down them and keep them flowing freely down through the system.
I think that's an exciting part for CYP as well, that we've got a lot of technologies that we can provide for signal distribution. But the key question really is which of those can pass these signals that Kev's talking about. So, of course, we've got 1 gig AV over IP. No, not really. HD base T1 or HD base T2. No, not really. Or SDVOE. Yes, yes, and more yes.
Yeah, exactly, Dan. The reality is there's nothing wrong with 1 gig AV over IP, and there's nothing wrong with HD base T1 and 2. They're fantastic systems. You know, here at CYP, we've been using them for a long, long time. But if you want to run the highest possible quality for the most common AV sources, then SDVOE is really the essential way to go. You can think of it as really being a 10 gig AV over IP system that gives you a lot more besides. It provides the best solution for this. So if you want the highest possible quality, the least encoding or compression on the market, then SDVOE is really the only system at the moment that offers this full 4K 6G HDMI 2.0A compatibility at the distance, at the distribution distance that we all really need. And it integrates very simply into 10 gigabit networks. It's generally speaking, there is less configuration required of the network hardware. It's pretty much plug and play on the network hardware because SDVOE system runs a virtual server that sits on top of the network hardware and allows you to not have to touch that network hardware. So generally, if you're using one 10 gigabit network, a 10G network switch, then you don't have to do any configuration at all.
And I think, yeah, really for that as well, high-end installations like high-end residential or corporate systems that need extended displays, so projection systems, video walls, multi-view, all of that would point towards the SDVOE system.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting talking about SDVOE, and I'm always quite happy if I've just managed to say it correctly, let alone remember what it stands for.
Remember what it actually stands for, yeah.
But it's interesting journey. I mean, I remember sort of, I'm trying to remember the exact year, but it's a few years ago now, and you sort of, they had sort of a, you know, fairly modest stand at a few trade shows, and at the start of systems like this, you always kind of think, oh, you know, will it get enough people on board? Will it work? You know, the technicals always sort of seem to be there, but obviously with these things, you know, you need to get support from the industry. And and I think also at the start of the, when people started to talk about it, certainly within the sphere of the kind of areas we talk about, it was more seen as the big commercial projects, things like that. But as obviously as the need for bandwidth has shifted into the home as well, then it's sort of coming through as a very interesting proposition there as well. And I think as well to remember, on top of all the kind of technical stuff that we have to take in and understand with this, it's the end result is just better content, better experiences for the end user. I watched a movie that I've seen a few times the other day in sort of really, really, really good quality, the Black Panther film. You know, it's kind of very popcorn kind of visual sort of film, and I was just blown away by how good it looked. And I thought I'd really seen it in decent quality before, but I hadn't. And it just, the immersive quality of it and just what it added to the content was it really brings home to you the importance of getting this right. And it really does allow installers to give extra juice to the customer.
Yeah, I think with the advent of HDR and to an extent Dolby Vision as well, because that's just like an encoded HDR. I think when you go back, and I was doing a similar thing with some Blade Runner stuff recently myself, and going back and watching all some of the dark and light that's in that movie and watching it for the first time with full 4K with HDR, it really brings a certain depth. Obviously, there's a bit of remastering that they've done to make it that way, but it brings depth to things that you and visually things you pick up on that you perhaps have never noticed because you weren't really able to notice them.
Yeah, I think it's easy to kind of skim over the impact. I mean, I keep getting it in, people having a go at me at home saying, oh, you've seen that film loads of times. I don't know, but I haven't seen it in HDR, have I?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that most home users are getting to that point. I mean, we're, you know, even with some of the streaming services, they've, because of how Dolby Vision works, they've been very quick to embrace that because it does keep a lot of quality for the bandwidth pipe that they're pushing it down. So yeah, I mean, it really makes a difference. I'm still a fan of just if you have a disc. I know it's so old school, and you can make, maybe if you're just encoding that disc into a 4K media player, you know, or you do it that way. I still think I can see quite a difference between watching it streamed and watching it from that original encoded disc, if you like. But the systems are getting better all the time. For when you've got the money of Netflix and Amazon and Disney, then, you know, there's a lot of money going into getting that experience as best as possible for the watcher.
Now, question for Dan Branton, that is, as we've got two Dans sitting around the table here. Dan B from CYP has quite a ring to it, doesn't it? CYP also talk about, Dan, system flexibility. Tell us about fixed frame matrices and the benefits of AV over IP.
Yeah, well, essentially, we've had for years now, a typical matrix would be maybe a 4x4 or an 8x8 or a 10x10. And of course, that is great. You know, they still come in at good price points, etc., etc. But it is fixed to those number of inputs and outputs. The beauty of something like an SDVOE system or a 1 gig AV over IP system as well is that you can decide the amount of transmitters and receivers you need for that system. So your customer might come to you and say, oh, we need 4 inputs, but we need 16 outputs. Well, of course, the market doesn't really offer a fixed 4x16, et cetera, et cetera. So with AV over IP, you get that choice of specifying, actually, yep, we need 5 transmitters, we need 17 receivers, and then the system is bespoke for that end user. And of course, that gives you future-proof as well. It gives you the scalability in the future. So if your customer then comes back to you at a later date and says, you know, we've got this system, but we need another 2 rooms added, absolutely fine. You can just add an additional 2 receivers to the system. Same with transmitters. Again, with a fixed matrix, that's all you've ever got. You've only got a maximum of 4x4 or 8x8 or 10x10. So that's really the scalability and the flexibility of these AV over IP systems, whether that's 10 gig SDVOE, or a 1 gig AV over IP system as well.
Yeah, exactly, Dan. I mean, that is the beauty of them, as you say, whether it's SDVOE or generally what is what most manufacturers are using, which is the A-speed based AV over IP 1 gig system. The SDVOE has, you know, as well as the compatibility that we've spoken about earlier, SDVOE has some other major flexibility advantages. I guess the most commonly one that's used in both residential and commercial installations is the multi-view arrangements that they have. So normally when you want a multi-view arrangement, even with 1 gig AV over IP, you have to actually put a separate piece of hardware at the end of the system, like a you know, quite expensive, can be very expensive multi-view processor that allows you just to make, you know, whether you're making a simple picture-in-picture or quad view, whatever, you have to put that in as a separate piece of hardware. But with SDVOE, you've got that already built in. So with the SDVOE system, you're actually, the transmitters are actually sending, well, when required, they are sending a completely separate substream with a multi-view arrangement in it. So each transmitter is sending its full quality main video and audio stream, and then it can send a secondary stream of a multi-view arrangement, which is obviously a smaller resolution because it's going into a multi-view. So you decide the multi-view and what you're doing, and then the TX sends it, and then an RX can build it at the other end. So whether that RX is then receiving, you know, just a simple picture-in-picture, where you've just got, you know, just a simple 2-picture multi-view and you've got a picture in the sub corner, or whether it's actually receiving 16 different multi-view streams from 16 different transmitters and arranging them in a 4x4, 16 grid, or anywhere in between. So it's this level of flexibility that you get with SDVOE that really, really helps to bridge that extra gap and give that extra flexibility to your customer, because you have the same flexibility. So if you add the flexibility of it's not fixed, and you add the flexibility of video wall arrangements, and you add the flexibility of future-proofing, and then you add this additional flexibility that only comes with SDVOE without having to buy expensive additional hardware, then you really get to understand the overall flexibility of the SDVOE system.
I think just another quick thing we haven't even touched on yet with SDVOE is the speed, and that would be in terms of lightning fast switching times and also the fact that it's incredibly low latency. So again, other huge benefits in the SDVOE system.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to kind of note here that on top of all the technical information and the things that we need to understand, what I keep coming back to here is opportunity. Yes, a lot of this stuff is kind of complex to get your head around, and it needs some time, and it needs sort of talking to folks like yourselves to kind of really get an understanding of how this works. But also, the install community's got to start seeing this stuff as an opportunity and not a problem, because it delivers some really cool stuff. You know,
we've touched
about, you know, sort of improved, you know, experiences, gaming, you know, you sort of touched on that a little bit earlier as well, which is really coming on now as a sort of a, we've talked about that, about gaming for a long time, you know, high quality gaming in terms of the, of this industry for a long time. And it's always been sort of there or thereabouts, but it's really coming through now as something. Obviously it's hugely popular, and for us not to be kind of trying to give people enhanced ways of enjoying their gaming is crazy. So a lot of these technologies are going to bring that through.
Those flexibilities, you're right, Dan S, you're right, those flexibilities are an opportunity for the integrator. You know, it's an opportunity to be able to develop and supply systems with this type of technology that previously would have cost a lot more or would have been incredibly more complicated, either both to use and to install. So the savings are twofold. You don't need additional hardware. Yes, SDVOE is relatively expensive compared to other technologies, but the benefits outweigh the expenses, and the flexibilities outweigh all that. And it really is becoming a, you know, for our commercial and residential high-end customers, where, you know, they're talking to customers that let's be honest, have got more money than probably all of us sitting around this room put together. You know, the cost is not important. What's important of having the best possible quality. And they're all now just going SDVOE with us.
So, I mean, you know, we've just sort of started to really get to grips with some new technologies. So, you know, stuff is coming through now in terms of content and solutions and stuff. As always in this industry, whilst we're doing that, something else hoves into view on the horizon, and 8K is something that, you know, we've been talking about for a long time now, but it's something that we have to sort of start dealing with, start thinking about, again, see it as an opportunity. So what are the different ways that we can get ready for 8K, or deal with it now, or deal with it in the future? How do you see sort of things panning out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's I know SDVOE, the a bit like, if you know HDBaseT, you might know that Valen are the manufacturer of the HDBaseT chip. The manufacturer of the SDVOE chip is a company called Semtech. And I know Semtech are looking at 8K and seeing what they can do. And there's information coming through. But like always, when you get a new HDMI standard and you want to try and develop products, it's really based on getting the new ICs, getting the new integrated circuits. It's one thing for Sony, Samsung and all the big boys to get 8K HDMI transmitter and receiver chips that go in their sources and their TVs. These are developed early on with HDMI, the organization. But it's all the other ICs around that, you know, the distribution ICs, the switching ICs, the embedding, the de-embedding ICs. These have to be developed. And that's why when you see this type of new specification come out, it seems to take, you know, the industry of who make, you know, the people who make all the bits in the middle, quite a while to catch up with it. And this is because actually the integrated circuits are not available at the same time. They take a while to be developed because you've got to have those, you know, there's a source that transmits and a screen that receives before you can even think about making an IC that can, you know, distribute that or switch that or embed something or de-embed something. So it does take some time. I mean, CYP are in a reasonably good position here because we are one of the biggest manufacturers of Pro AV. Well, our group is one of the biggest manufacturers of Pro AV. So we get some of these chips very quickly. But the development is always a little bit slower because you're waiting for those chips. And, you know, without giving away too many R&D secrets, from what we're seeing at the moment, it would seem very likely that the at-distance distribution system for 8K will be based around some kind of AV over IP. Well, that's kind of how it looks at the moment anyway.
I think short term as well, you're going to get some 8K content passable over cabling, of course, over HDMI cable. But with that as well, we would just obviously make sure that people are looking at the quality of cable. And ideally, they'll make sure their cables are ultra certified, which basically means the cable has been tested and proven to pass the signal that it says on the packet. So, of course, distances will probably be quite short on 8K cables to start off with. Of course, fiber cables are available, which are a bit longer. But as I say, ultra certified is a good way to make sure the cables will do what they say they'll do.
Yeah, that's the certification from HDMI organisation themselves, which means the cable's actually gone through a proper HDMI organisation certification. So yeah, if you want guaranteed to work, that's the way to go.
I'm interested in one thing. You mentioned cost.
Yeah.
SDVoE is more costly. How does that compare? Because obviously we are talking as a magazine to installers that are installing £1 million, £2 million systems, and then of course you're talking to people in the Middle England area.
Yeah, sure.
And the Middle England area, of course, look at pennies. I mean, how does, yep, when you say costly, what kind of comparison is that to HD-based T, for example?
I'll tell you the answer to that, and then if I can back it up with a little bit of an explanation as well, and then about why that will become cheaper. So at the moment, it is about twice the price of 1 gig AV over IP. But there's a development cycle that goes on here. So when you develop something like SDVoE, you're using FPGA chips. So you're using not bespoke IC, not bespoke silicon. You're using a programmable silicon that has a certain bandwidth capabilities, and you're using it to make your product, and you're using it to define your environment and what you want to do. And then after a few years, and this is exactly what's going on with SDVoE right now, after a few years and a certain amount of success, you go through a process of designing your own bespoke chips. So these are being designed and actually being tested at the moment, and at CYP we're doing some of that testing with the SDVoE Alliance as well. And so this will help bring the cost down. Now, it won't bring it all the way down to the price of 1 gig AV over IP, and it shouldn't, because it's a better system. It has, you know, better flexibility. It has better bandwidth capabilities. But so whilst at the moment it is, you know, pretty much double the price, I'd expect that to come down, hopefully during this year, to more like 50% more.
Magazine is the leading title for the smart home, AV and home cinema markets. Packed monthly with news, views, features, products and case studies, it's a must read for any integration company looking to source new products and increase their profits. If you'd prefer to get your smart home and high quality AV news online, then get along to essentialinstall.com. Updated daily with news, product releases and case studies. Essential Install is the last word in smart home, AV and home cinema coverage. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online.
Dan B. Dan B from CYP. I promise I won't say that again. Dan, you mentioned switching, fast switching. How fast is fast switching? When we're talking about switching times,
I'll let Kev go into the more specifics of the technical side of it. But essentially, using the scaler on the receiver end of these systems will allow you to switch between sources at almost a frame. We've done demonstrations of this when we were at the last live shows. Remember those days? And again, when you switch from source, it's almost instantaneous. You're watching one source, you flick it, it switches to the other one. It is lightning fast. Kev, if you want to delve into milliseconds and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'll delve into milliseconds, but if I can take a moment to go through switching times first. So traditionally, if you can get a system to switch in like 3 seconds, you know, with fixed frame matrices, you've done a hell of a good job. You really have. And there's various reasons for that. One of them is that the TV itself, when you're switching from two very different sources, you know, different different resolution, different hertz rate, different color space, different chroma subsampling, different bit rate. If all of that's different, then it takes your TV 2 or 3 seconds to switch, let alone the switching hardware, the matrix hardware. And so it's been common for a few years when you took look at the high-level manufacturers like CYP and other big brands, some of them might also begin with C or K or things like that, that you use in your receiver units. You use scalars in the receiver units. And what this does is it fixes the resolution and all of the timing elements on your system so that when you switch the matrix, your TV's not having to change anything. So that's how you get this sort of switching time down to sort of 3 seconds, because essentially you're then only waiting for the fixed frame matrix to switch rather than that to switch and your TV to switch and scale, because your TV will always scale. You know, if you throw 1080p at a TV, it's scaling it up to 4K, unless you've put the aspect ratio onto 1:1, and that's when you see the little box in the middle with all the black around the outside. I don't know if you've ever done that as an experiment. So that's how traditionally the last sort of 4 or 5 years we've reduced switching time. But with SDVoE, it goes a step further. SDVoE has like a fast switching mode, but it also has a genlock mode. So if you couple the genlock mode on SDVoE with the scaling mode on the RXs of the SDVoE, then you can achieve that instant switching that Dan's talking about. One of the ideas that SDVoE had is they wanted to make sure it was incredibly fast for this type of switching, so that when you're using it in, you know, motor racing or something like that, and you're switching between screens or timing screens, it was incredibly fast. So they do that by creating this gen locking, and gen locking is like a heartbeat. So every transmitter in the SDVoE system is heartbeated together, so that when you switch from one to the other, there's no loss of signal. So no loss of time, sorry. So when you do that and you couple with the receiver setting its scalar to match the TV, then you essentially get what is considered to sort of be the holy grail of switching, whereas it's like changing the channel on your TV. In fact, really, it's faster than changing your channel on the TV. But, you know, you pick up your Sky remote or your Virgin remote and you flick from one channel to another. It's pretty instant. And when you couple all that together with SDVoE, it's actually faster than that. So this is an incredibly sophisticated system that allows you to do that.
I think that as well, all of these reasons are why this is becoming so popular in, as we said, those sort of high-end residential systems where the customer just wants the best of all of it. They want the highest bandwidth, aka the best picture quality overall. They want the fastest switching times. They want the flexibility, the scalability. So all of that lends itself to this. In our range, of course, we have transmitters, receivers, or transceivers as well, and of course the control software behind it. And as you've probably seen before, of course, we're always happy to run through these in our webinars and training sessions. I think as Daniel mentioned earlier, it does sound complicated, some of it. The technology behind it is incredibly clever, and it can handle a lot of very big numbers and a lot of very sophisticated features. But in terms of the end user, it's incredibly easy to use. And that's always one of the keys to these systems. You can just plug your sources in and use the system. So again, I think the background behind it is very technical and very in-depth. But as I say, actually using the system is incredibly simple.
I think for the integrator as well, because you know, if you want fast switching or if you want video walls or multi-view, you're not having to bolt on these extra bits of hardware. It's just built into your transmitters and receivers already. So for the integrator, it's actually a simpler install as well. I mean, obviously, the first time you use it, you've like any system or any new system or any products, you've got to kind of get used to it. But actually, because it's you know, everything's within the transmitters and the receiver units, you're using two different types of products. Or sometimes if they're transceivers, you're using one and your controllers. So, yeah, it becomes, once you've used it, it's actually becoming a lot easier for the integrator as well.
Now, I think a key thing as well, coming back to the end user experience, is that speed of switching you've been talking about there. You know, it was, you know, really only a few short years ago that systems that we were selling to people as sophisticated, and they were in lots and lots of ways very sophisticated, but there was that little bit of lag, and people were kind of asked to put up with that. That's just, you know, that's the price you're paying for getting, you know, this really cool automated system or whatever it might have been. But, you know, those days are getting close to being gone now, where, you know, you get that instant gratification of choosing what you want to watch and watching it straight away. And we, you know, like it or not, we live in a world now where, you know, speed, not just massive amounts of choice, but speed of choice is a huge kind of thing. And to have systems where you can pick what you want to look at or do, and it happens, you know, almost instantaneously is a great selling point.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was sort of testing SDVOE, and I set up a small 4x4 Genlock system. I think I just had multiple skyboxes just thrown into the system. I had to kind of just check that I'd actually switched over, because it was so ridiculously fast. If you blink, you could miss it. You know, it is just so ridiculously fast when you use all of the elements of this switching. It's really, really lovely. Really lovely to use.
The wonderful skybox that it always, I don't know, it always raises a dry smile with me, that, you know, we build these fantastic systems, these amazing products, you know, genuine cutting edge stuff that nobody else can do. And sat right at the heart of a lot of them is this product, let's call it, that probably costs, what, I don't know, a dollar?
Mass produced.
And even the commercial guys, you know, with their businesses, they tend to have a Sky Qbox sitting in there, so they have Bloomberg on or whatever. So yeah, you're right. They're almost in every installation somewhere.
I have spoken to Sky a couple of times about, you know, making a high end box. You know, I think that there are people within the company, I think, would probably like to do it, but, you know, it's a numbers game for them, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's, you know, pure scale, isn't it?
But again, why would they? They've got a mass product. And again, it's numbers for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the numbers.
Dan Say, you had a question about 8K?
Well, we talked about sort of general 8K earlier on. So I'm interested to find out sort of how CYP's sort of development along those lines is coming. Sort of what are you up to, and what we maybe look forward to in the future? What's the roadmap?
Well, I think 8K cables are next on our agenda. We just need to be able to get things in through the UK ports. So it's fun and games with the shipments at the moment. But yeah, 8K cables is definitely one of the next things for us. And then a few of the factors that Kev mentioned earlier, which I'll pass back over to Kev on those.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we're getting ICs through, we're starting development. Like all this, you kind of do start with the simpler stuff and work towards the more advanced stuff. So, you know, we're working on some distribution systems, some splitters, if you want to call them those, 8K splitters, coming along hopefully in the second half of the year, or Q3, they should be there. We're also doing, we're doing some HDMI to HDMI matrices that again should be in Q3. We're also looking at distance. We're looking at various technologies for at distance 8K distribution as well, so we'll hopefully get those out this year. One of the things that we're always really keen to do, and we're doing it again with this, is when there's a new HDMI specification, we're always very keen to develop an analyzer and a generator. So we're working on an 8K analyzer and pattern generator. This has two reasons, really. A, because the market needs it, and B, well, three reasons. A, because the market needs it. B, because we kind of need it in our own testing. And C, because we learn, the engineers, the fantastic engineers we have, learn an awful lot about the whole development cycle of 8K in this instance, when you have to actually make a product that can analyze that signal and give out useful information of that signal. So yeah, there'll be quite a few products released throughout the year that are 8K compatible from CYP. Exactly when and where, as Dan says, will depend on whether we can get a boat to dock at a UK port.
and how is Brexit, dear old Brexit, affecting you guys? I mean, are you getting stuff in? Can you adequately supply the integrators and installers at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good. We've had a few problems. Like we're saying, I mean, there seems to be this problem where, I think, which is more due to COVID, that all the container ships, which usually take empty containers back to China or Asia or India or America or wherever they're going, that just haven't been going there. And so the what we're hearing is from our logistics companies is that the UK ports are just jammed full of empty containers. And this is making it much harder to get them in. So there's been quite a lot of shuffling around. So, yeah, I mean, in all honesty, yeah, we occasionally run out of product. That can be a logistics thing. Sometimes it can be because someone comes along and orders 100 products where you normally only sell in one go, where you normally only sell 100 a quarter. So, you know, you get that type of thing as well. As far as our international customers go, obviously, non-European customers, it's been the same. And we're used to dealing with those. We've had a few logistical problems with inside the EU, just working out with our customers, mainly on the inward bound. So if there's a problem with a product and we're trying to get it back, how we get that back without us and them being charged duties when you're returning stuff and things like that. But in general, it's actually not been the storm that we thought it was going to be, or perhaps some people thought it was going to be. So it's been reasonably positive.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
There is one big question we haven't dealt with as yet, and it's the one that keeps me awake at night as an editor. Is it matrices or matrixes?
One of our old trainers used to always tell us off if we put it with an X. I think our company philosophy hasn't been its matrices, but that's because at one point we had someone with such a very firm opinion on it that we all just couldn't be bothered to argue with him.
Fair enough.
It's interesting. I think matrices sounds rather posh. Matrixes sounds a bit not so. Okay. I think that's about time. That just leaves me to say thank you to Kevin Cray and Daniel Branton from CYP Europe.
Pleasure.
Thanks for having us, gentlemen.
By the way, I was very impressed with you guys turning up in CYP branded shirts for a podcast. It was very impressive.
Just in case our clothing came across in our audio, you know, we've got to be ready for it, haven't we?
We're both wearing Star Wars T-shirts underneath, I can assure you.
Yes.
Very true.
And of course, thanks to Daniel Sait, who will undoubtedly continue to make Essential Install magazine the must-go-to publication every month.
Yeah, we'll keep trying. I'm not going to go into what I'm wearing, and that's a whole kettle of fish we don't want to go into.
But it's not an AC/DC shirt.
Actually, no, it isn't today. No, it's Motorhead.
Motorhead. Okay, well, thank you for listening, and keep your ears open for the next in the Essential Install podcast series. Goodbye, and have a great day.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.